Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just to the east of us, you can find the wonders of historic Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley. And by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on 220 in Bedford. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. I'll be right back to introduce my guests, Bill Wirtz of Bedford and Ray Horner of the Vietnam Veterans of America, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
You got a minute? I want to tell you a story. Have you heard about Destination Delco? We're great bars and restaurants. We're ethnic neighborhoods. We're the Main Line and the Brandywine. We're different things to different people. We're a little brassy, but oh so classy. We're main streets and back roads, marinas and museums. We're nightlife and, yes, wildlife. We're Destination Delco, a new way to experience Delaware County.
I've been wanting to do this program with these guys ever since I arrived. You are probably aware of the national importance of the Vietnam Veterans of America. They have chapters all over the country. But this particular chapter has always impressed me very much. They're enthusiastic, they're well organized, and it's quite large. We have with us Bill Wirtz, an Army veteran, who is also from Bedford, and Ray Horner, also an Army veteran, he is also from Bedford. And we're going to talk to them a little bit about their experiences, obviously, as combat soldiers in Vietnam, and also this event that is going on this week as we record this show at the Bedford County Historical Society. So first of all, Bill, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate you doing this.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
And Ray, you're a good sport, too, even though we drafted you, what, 8 minutes ago to do this?
Right? That's true.
Okay, that's good. Right. Well, you know about drafting and stuff. Right?
Sure.
Okay. So let's get actually ask that question. Ray, when you entered the military, were you drafted? You
enlisted? Yes, I was.
You were drafted?
Yep.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, April 9th, 1969.
You just happen to know that date, don't you? Well, we all seem to kind of know that date, right?
I can't forget that date. April 9th, 1969.
A lot of people who have never served in the military really don't understand the draft very well, and I would like you just to give us a little bit of an explanation what it was like to be drafted in 1969.
Well,
how old were you, first of all?
I was 19 years old.
Okay.
And like I said, I knew it was coming up. I knew my number was pretty short, and all my buddies and that before me, I knew, and I just knew I was short.
Now, the number you're referring to, of course, was the 365 numbers that they had, and it had something to do with your birthday, correct?
Right.
Okay. So it was a lottery, was it not? So
it was according to your name, right?
Yeah,
your
name.
Your name.
So what number were you? You remember?
Oh, I have the card at hand.
But you remember that day you were drafted? Okay. Okay, so what happened next? You got drafted.
Well, we got out there and done the physical thing out of Pittsburgh, and we loaded on a bus and shipped us down to Georgia from Pittsburgh.
You said you did your basic training at Fort Gordon, Georgia,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is a big Army installation big training outfit. Yeah. How about you, Bill? Were you drafted or enlisted?
Yeah, I was drafted in October of 66. Mm-hmm.
So what happened with you? Were you in high school or what happened?
Well, actually, no. I was living a good life in Florida. A couple of my friends, we got graduated, and we went to Florida and started life down there. And my mother sent me a letter and said that Uncle Sam wanted me. I came back from a physical and ended up in Fort Lewis, Washington with 50 other guys from the Bedford area.
So 50 guys from Bedford were shipped to the state of Washington for basic training.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So where did you ship from there after basic?
We took AIT. I did some AIT.
I have to explain to everybody what that is.
Well, it's advanced infantry training.
Okay.
Okay. Did some of that at Fort Lewis, Washington, but also went to Fort Ord, California for more.
I see. So you went through a couple of training sessions after boot camp or basic training.
Correct.
And how about you, Ray? Did you do the same thing?
Yeah, I did the same thing. I also had my AIT training at Fort Gordon, Georgia. Mm-hmm.
And did you do anything after the AIT?
I had a week jungle training down in down in Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Louisiana. So you got to travel around the U.S.
Yeah.
Did you guys move around the country back then by train or airplane?
I did all my travel by airplane because I was going to the West Coast. I got to come home after basic, which ended up to be right at Christmas time. We couldn't get back, so some of the guys that we went out with, Larry Shippey and myself, Christmas time, you couldn't get on a commercial flight, so we chartered a plane to bring us home from Fort Lewis, actually Seattle. And I don't think they ever stopped to put gas in it, but they stopped to put oil in it every once in a while because you could see the oil running back the wing. But we made it home and had a great Christmas. And
you're listening to Bedford County Speaks, and with me today are two members of the Bedford County Vietnam Veterans of America, Bill Wirtz and Ray Horner. Bill is waving his hands at me. What are you waving about?
Association.
Okay, Bedford County. Well, give it to me straight. Doing it wrong. Tell me what it is.
Bedford County Vietnam Veterans Association.
Okay. Vietnam Veterans Association of Bedford County or Bedford County Vietnam Veterans Association.
Okay. We're not affiliated.
Sometimes these guys really, I mean, they just get on you. I mean, if you make one little thing, they like to jump right on you, but that's okay.
if you make a mistake, you're dead.
Okay, so you were served, actually served about 3 years apart, at least when you started out, Ray 69 and Bill 66. So Bill, let me start with you. 66 was kind of early, so when did you actually ship overseas?
I got over there in July of 67.
And did they fly you there too?
Yes, actually we went kind of as a group. I was with the 4th Division. Didn't know what company the 4th Division, but I went over with the 4th Division. We actually flew 131s, I think they were, up around Alaska to Vietnam. It was like a close to a 30-hour trip on a nylon web seat.
I've never done that, and I have no interest in doing that.
It was interesting. I don't know. Maybe Ray knows, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of close to 200 guys in one of them, 150 guys maybe in the back. And you had basically you had two small porta potties.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course.
That wasn't first class.
No.
Okay. Now, Ray, when did you ship over?
It was September 2nd. Of 69.
69. So where did you land? Where'd you end up when you got in country?
Benoit.
Okay. Yeah. And how about you, Bill?
Yeah, I ended up in Cameron Bay.
Okay. So were you assigned to an outfit as soon as you arrived in Benoit?
Yeah, we went through a like 3 or 4 day process, and what they did at that time, they were short guys, and they just picked you at random.
Yep.
Or by your MOS for what they needed.
And MOS, of course, I mean, that was your job.
That was the job.
And
what
was your MOS?
A grunt.
Okay. Well, Ray, it's important people hear this because, you know, they read about this. And remember that many people, especially young people who read about this 50 years ago or 49 years ago, whatever it's been, it's a long time ago. I mean, it's literally two lifetimes. And I think they get very distorted views. You guys were just a couple of kids out of Bedford. You weren't even 21 years old yet, neither one of you. And you're in a foreign country, riding on web seats on an airplane for 30 hours to go to a country you never heard of, probably. Is that a pretty accurate description?
Yes, yeah, pretty accurate.
Bill, had you ever been out of the country before?
No.
I hadn't.
And Ray is shaking his head, he hasn't either. Right. Okay, so when you arrived in country, Bill, what outfit were you assigned to?
Well, I left the stage assigned to the 4th Division. Later was assigned to headquarters and headquarters company, 3rd of the 12th, which was in Pleiku at the time. After that, I was attached to C Company for about 3 months, and I didn't care much for that job that they had given me. So they asked for volunteers one day, and I said, there can't be anything worse than what I'm doing now. So I stuck my hand up, and I ended up in recon. And then I was back with headquarters and headquarters company again, the 3rd or the 12th. And about this time in 1967, actually it was, say, September 67, I was attached again to C Company and Recon. And that's when my affiliation with Tet actually started in 1967. At that time, we was in Dock Tow, which is north of Pleiku in the Central Highlands. And actually, in 1967, which is pretty hard time right now for me this time of the year, what we were doing was dealing with a couple pretty major battles up there in Dock Tow. One hill was 875 and the other one was 1338. And actually, this day right now is...
this time of year?
Today is actually the first day that we made contact on 1338.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Ray, were you in action in the same place or whereabouts?
No, I was in Tainan, Benoit, and I was like west of Saigon, northwest of Saigon.
Right.
And in the Phuc Vinh and Tainan area.
We are talking to two veterans of the Vietnam War, and the Vietnam War, it's very hard to say when it started. Everybody says it was the 50s, the 60s, you know, pick a day, pick a date.
Really started in 46.
46, yeah, possibly after the French left. But the it was America's longest war to this day. They say that Iraq was longer. I don't think so. And, of course, its impact on the country was profound. So that is why everybody still hears about it 50 years later. And that's why we're here talking to these folks today. Bill, how long were you in country? And were you there for one or two tours?
Just one. I was thought I was being smart at the time. And they had what they called an early out. Mm-hmm. If you had less than 90 days, a draftee, when you came back after your time was up, your DROS date, if you had less than 90 days, you got an early out. You didn't have to go to any guard meeting. You was assigned to a guard meeting, but you didn't have to go to any meetings, and that really suited me fine because right. I'd had about enough of the military.
Sure.
When it was time to get out. So, yeah, I got out. I was only in country. It was like just shy of 14 months.
Well, that's a fairly long tour, because some are in for a lot less, of course. The whole notion of the Vietnam War, I think, through the lens of history, unjust war, crazy thing, what are we doing there, Southeast Asia, what was the purpose, and millions of words have been written about it. But every time I talk to somebody who was involved in action there, or not in action, me included, feel that at the time, people today cannot understand what the country's attitude was about this sort of thing at the time. It's easy to look back through history. Do you feel that way at all? Or do you feel differently? What do you think, Ray?
I think what we did was right.
Yeah.
At the time, and I mean, I still think we're right.
Right.
But we weren't treated like that.
For sure. And but what I mean is that it wasn't the E1s and E2s that were making these decisions.
Right.
And that's what people forget. I mean, I forget what the total figure was, 2.5 million, whatever it was, guys ended up somewhere in the vicinity of that country over a period of 10 to 15 years. And that was an enormous investment by our country. So I think people need to be reminded that was a very just conflict for everyone who went. It was easy to sit on the beach in a college campus and complain. I remember when I came back from overseas, I went to college, and I walked into a college campus in the middle of 1966 when everybody's holding signs up saying stop the war. It was a very uncomfortable position to be in, and a lot of guys, you know, experienced that. Did you experience that when you came home?
Yeah, it's rough. It was really rough.
We're going to be back in just a minute, and when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about some of these specific operations these guys were involved in. I do want to remind you that you'll miss this because this program will be broadcast after this event is over. But just about every year, this group, the Vietnam Veterans Association of Bedford County has put on this marvelous display on the second floor of the Historical Society. So it's really a terrific opportunity to see firsthand what it was like. They have photographs, they have all kinds of things. When Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. Long before electronic ignitions, in-dash entertainment, alloy wheels, and moonroofs, our family has provided your family with worry-free transportation and reliable service. One of the great things about living in Bedford County is that all of us still appreciate personal service and the value of a reputation. So many things we want today are measured only by appearance and price. At Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, we strive to do more for you so that we can succeed. In all the years we've been in business, we've never lost sight of the fact that purchasing a car is a big deal for any family, including my own. Your car or truck is your connection to the outside world, whether it be your job, church, or family. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru understands your needs, and that is why we invite you to visit us first. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, for buying a car or truck, is always worry-free.
This is Larry Fisher of the Bedford Lions Club, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
We are speaking with two Vietnam veterans of the Bedford County Vietnam Veterans Association. We're learning about some real firsthand experiences, what it was like to serve in Vietnam during the height of the Vietnam War. And I say that because the period of time that Bill Wirtz served, all the way up until the time Bill Horner left the country, that was clearly the peak. It involved the Tet Offensive, it involved all these major battles. Although it seemed to go on forever, because every single time, and I remember this distinctly because I was working at a radio station in Boston when I came home, and I remember going into the newsroom every day, and someone like Henry Kissinger would say, "We're going to end it any day now." And that "any day now" went on for 10 years. You know, they just couldn't seem to get out of their own way with this thing. I didn't want to talk to you about the politics, Bill, but were you aware of the turmoil that was happening at home while you were in country?
No, because I actually never, other than letters that you got from home, there was no contact as far as newspapers with me, you know. And, you know, the letters from home is from, you know, from your family. Sure. and a few friends. And they was always on the bright side trying to cheer you up, saying, you know, every once in a while they put in there, "Sorry you weren't here, you missed a good party," you know, or whatever. But, yeah. No, I wasn't really aware of what was going on back as far as the riots and the protests. No.
What about you, Ray? Were you aware of this at all?
Well, I was well aware because, I mean, I was here till 69, the fall of 69. It was just like on the news constantly.
Our guests today are Bill Wirtz and Ray Horner, both U.S. Army veterans from the Vietnam War. And can you talk a little bit about this display and why you do this every year?
I really don't know whose idea it was anymore to do this. We was approached, I think, to have it by the Historical Society. Is that correct, Ray? I think that's how it was. But the display is just, like you'd mentioned, memorabilia from the guys from our local group here, Vietnam Veterans Bedford County. And a lot of it is pictures. A lot of it is real hard facts as far as what happened to different individuals over there. There's a lot of Purple Hearts representative here. There's evidence of chopper pilots that had their ships shot out from underneath of them and fell to the ground. That's here. There's medics here that has pictures and documentation of people that they helped and things like that. So as far as what's on display here, I think, is a good representation from the DMZ clear to Saigon, and because the guys that are in our group covered the whole area, and we have a real good representation.
Do you guys ever go out to the high schools and explain any of this to people?
No, we had a guy that did do some things, give flags and stuff out, No, we've never done that. We've contacted the schools to get them up to the display, but none of them has ever came.
So is there any public display you do outside of this event this time of year in October? Do you take it? Now, I know you have that memorial in the middle of the square in downtown Bedford. which is maintained by you guys, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty a love for that there. I mean, sure. It's just like history, sort of like what we're doing here. And, you know, it's been a loving relationship for me because, I mean, I was proud of what I did. And a long time I didn't say anything to anybody.
Right.
And this group here is what opened me up to the, you know, what my tour was like.
I've heard that a lot from you guys about each other. That's a great thing. Now, I have an interesting question to ask both of you. During the Vietnam War, the United States Army, I think it was the Army, built radio stations in country called AFVN. Did any of you ever get a chance to listen to AFVN while you were in country?
I used to do that at night when I wasn't on guard duty and I had a transistor radio I humped when I was in country, and I used to sit there and listen to it. Good while in the evening, Armed Forces Radio.
Now, do you remember the commercials that they ran on the radio station at AFVN? Well, I'm going to let everyone hear one of those commercials that they played in Vietnam in 1969.
Vietnam Network presents Anything You Want to Know About Drugs But Don't Know Who to Ask. Your questions on drugs and drug abuse. This question comes to us from a group of individuals in Da Nang. They ask, what is an LSD trip like? An LSD trip varies according to the dosage, the personality of the user, and the conditions under which the drug is taken. Basically, it causes changes in sensation. Vision is the most markedly altered. Changes in depth perception and the meaning of the object seen are also frequently described. Illusions and hallucinations can also occur. Thinking may become pictorial, and daydreaming states are also common. Delusions are also sometimes experienced. The sense of time and of yourself are strangely altered. Strong emotional feelings may range from bliss to horror, sometimes within a single experience. Sensations may cross over. That is, music may be seen or color heard. The individual is suggestible and, especially under high doses, loses his ability to discriminate and to evaluate his experience. This response provided by the MACV Task Force on Drug Abuse. If you have a question, anything you want to know about drugs but don't know who to ask, ask us and we'll try to find the answer. AFVN, APO in country, 96309.
Okay, so you won't hear anything like that on this radio station, but that is what these guys heard in the late 60s on what they called AFVN, which is Armed Forces Radio Vietnam. And I was just explaining to them during the commercial that there were actually two radio stations, one up north and one down south. The big one was in Saigon, and it was on 540 KC, and it was 50 kilowatts. It was built by the RCA Corporation, and they ran disc jockeys. In fact, they did a movie about it called Good Morning Vietnam, which is really about that radio station. So we're having a very interesting time talking to you guys. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the logistics. Ray, how did you get around the country? Were you always riding around in armored personnel carriers? Or what did you walk, or what did you do? Tell us about that.
If we had a mission to do, we'd fly into that area. And it just depended on what they wanted to check out. And it could last a month in the field, you know. And then they'd bring, take us out by chopper and land us there. And then when they wanted to come pick us up, they did the same thing.
So you're brought in by Hueys and things like
Hueys,
that?
Yeah, Hueys, yeah.
Okay. Did you ever ride in a Huey?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe 30-some trips about that. I did a lot of, being in recon, we bounced around to a lot of different fire bases, which was the outlining support areas, usually on top of a hill unless you was in the flat country. But, I guess lucky that way. I got to see a lot of the Central Highlands from the air and the rest of it from the ground.
Now, when you were in that Huey, how many guys were in there with you?
Usually there was six of us.
Six of you? Yeah. So they would plop you down on a hill someplace, and then you get back when you call them back, right?
Yeah. Most of the time, we actually started from fire bases. We would report to a fire base. They'd have an area, like Ray said, that they wanted checked out. We would get the coordinates of that, and it might only be a couple clicks away, or it might be a day's walk away, you know, and we would set up and observe what we saw and come back and be debriefed and tell them what it was.
Did either of you guys ever participate in a capture of any prisoners, VC prisoners?
Yes, several times. In Cambodia, I was in there twice, and we got pretty valuable information.
So you were in the Cambodian incursion?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they weren't treated too nicely.
Well, you're hearing the real thing here.
Well,
of course, Lloyd, I was told that we was never in Cambodia.
And
yeah, that's true.
It's interesting because I have a very, very good friend of mine who was at that time an Army Medical Corps captain, and he said he wasn't there twice. That's the way he put it. Well, you guys have been terrific. I really want to thank you for doing this. You're really, obviously, welcome home, and thank you for serving, of course. And I just want, did I miss anything? Did you want to add anything here that we forgot about?
No, I think that pretty well covered it.
So I want to say thank you very much to Bill Wirtz and to Ray Horner. Thank you very much for your service, and thank you very much for putting on this display.
Thank you, Lloyd.
Thank you. Our guest today has been Bill Wirtz and Ray Horner. And Bedford County Speaks was brought to you today by DestinationDelco.com and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. This program was first broadcast in November of 2015. This coming Thursday, on March 30th, many of our neighbors and the Veteran Affairs Office of Bedford County will honor these brave veterans at a special welcome home ceremony in Bedford Square. This event is in recognition of the welcome home these men and women did not receive when they returned to America. What they did here were war protesters and an ungrateful nation for what they did. Time has passed, and we're eager now to welcome the Vietnam veterans home. This is Lloyd Roach.
Hey, LVJ, how many kids did you kill today?
If you're going to San Francisco,
been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.